It's Marketplace Tech for May 10th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, IBM is announcing a project for Watson, the company's complex computing system most known for its appearances on Jeopardy or talking to Carrie Fisher in IBM commercials.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
I am a cognitive system. I can understand, reason, and learn.
The new project is called Watson for Cybersecurity, with help from students at 8 universities, including MIT, NYU, Penn State, and more. Watson will try to crunch large amounts of data from all over the internet to nip cyber attacks in the bud before they happen. Caleb Barlow is VP for IBM Security. Caleb, thanks for coming by. We're talking about unstructured data here.
That's right. You know, the information on what people are doing, how they're attacking, you know, it's in the form of transcripts from the latest conference or a research paper. Well, machines can't read that. And when you consider that the humans in this space are completely overwhelmed with data, this is what we're trying to tackle. So the next phase that we're getting into is cognition, where we're looking at this problem and using computers to go, oh, well, let me investigate that like a human would.
Do you have to be careful about what kind of information you feed the machine and when?
You know, the funny thing is it learns like a human learns. What we have to do here is we have to train it. Much like when you and I learned how to read, we have to understand the difference between a noun, a verb, an adjective.
Sure.
Watson has to understand the difference between an attacker, an attack methodology, and a target.
What comes after you train?
So later this year, we will actually start trials with customers in their live environments as well as in environments that we run.
I got to imagine that at some point you're going to charge for this.
We're kind of waiting to see.
Are there other companies that could do this better? I'm thinking of Google, for instance. It seems like that company has crazy access to information.
Well, actually, this is a great question. And there's a lot of people focused on things like artificial intelligence, which has been around for decades.
Yeah.
The difference in this case relative to what other people are doing is this is truly computers that think and learn. What we're able to feed it from IBM is our own information going back almost 20 years in terms of all our own threat research. We actually have a fake bank we run, believe it or not, which looks like a real bank, acts like a real bank. It happens to be full of problems, and we watch how people attack it.
A large decoy.
Large decoy, what we call honeypots. But we gather a ton of information off of the operations we run.
Caleb Barlow, he is VP at IBM Security. Caleb, thank you for coming by.
Thanks a ton.
While we're on the computers that learn for themselves tip, a company called Viv debuted its new digital assistant this week in New York. A co-founder who built Apple's Siri gave an interesting demonstration of Viv's advanced ability to understand user requests.
I'm going to take another even bigger leap to sort of a question that you might not ask, actually, but just to show you a little more of the power. Will it be warmer than 70 degrees near the Golden Gate Bridge after 5 p.m. the day after tomorrow?
In short order, Viv gave a text answer to that question. Good to remember that no matter how smart the system is, though, it only gets better if a ton of users sign up for Viv. And digital assistants from larger companies like Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon might have an advantage. Think live broadcasting, you might think radio, at least I hope you would, or maybe a TV broadcast network like NBC. But right now, there are a lot of other options for live streaming video. And new broadcasters, BuzzFeed's Exploding Watermelon or Happenings at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, brought to you thanks to Facebook Live, for instance. There's also Periscope, which was acquired by Twitter last year. This week, Periscope has announced a bunch of new features. You can now save videos for longer than 24 hours, for instance, where before they go away. You can also broadcast live Periscope video from drones now. Kayvon Bakepour is co-founder and CEO of Periscope. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. So these new features, why is now the right time to roll them out?
You know, we launched Periscope over a year ago with this restraint of broadcasts only staying around for 24 hours because at the time, people really hadn't embraced the idea of live streaming. And we've just been sort of blown away over the last year by how quickly that's changed.
But this also has to be about monetization, right?
No, I mean, we're not actually doing anything within the Periscope platform directly to support monetization. I think that a lot of things happen that are captured on Periscope that deserve to stay around for more than 24 hours. So sure, there are also monetization implications down the line, but first and foremost, we want to give broadcasters the control around the content that they're creating and investing in.
Is this a move in some ways to make Periscope more like Facebook Live and less like Snapchat?
No, this is a move to make Periscope more like what we want Periscope to be. I mean, we talked about the 24-hour, the drone one is another one, where we've seen emergent user behavior on our platform of people rigging up these complex setups to get their drones broadcasting through Periscope, because a lot of what they want to share, you know, they want to share from 500 feet in the air.
Why do you think live video seems to be having such a moment right now?
There's a confluence of things that make right now a more tenable time for live streaming. Between the cellular kind of network connectivity and speeds, those just weren't possible before. But I think there's something else too, which is what is the experience around creating and watching a live broadcast? The types of experiences that Periscope is really focusing on, it's how do you actually make live matter? That you're actually creating a feedback loop between the broadcaster and the audience. So I'm holding an iPhone right now broadcasting to 315 people, and they're asking me all kinds of questions, sending me emojis and complimenting me, and they can ask me questions that then end up affecting the experience within 3 or 4 seconds. And I think that sort of magic of interactivity is what makes live now an interesting medium that is meaningful in a way that it wasn't before.
Kayvon Bakepour, he is co-founder and CEO of Periscope, and he joined us on the line from San Francisco. Kayvon, thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
We don't yet broadcast live video via Periscope for Marketplace Tech, but I do a bit of Snapchatting, or Snapcatting. It's mostly cat. ZEE Brock Johnson is my handle, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.